Welcome back to Roughing the Basket. Finally, once again, you know, this podcast, maybe you can take us down, you can tear us apart, you can do whatever, maybe we'll disappear for a few weeks, but we do what every team ever has done against Doc Rivers in the playoffs, and that's come back. So, you know, dude, honestly, if the Raptors come back and beat the 76ers, he loses all credibility as a head coach ever. Like, I mean, we're going to find out if that happens. We can't really talk about that much because it'll be kind of pointless because this series will probably be over by the time.
As we're recording, there's a game on in an hour because we're recording at 6 p.m. The game, I believe game six is going to be on. The Sixers were up 3-2. They were up 3-0. No team's ever came back down from 3-0. If the 76ers pull off this disaster class and moves in four games in a row to the Raptors, I mean, I know Doc Rivers won a championship with the Celtics, and I'm grateful for that as a Celtics fan. Thank you for that. But, I mean, you're right. He's been a guy who's blown big leads in the playoffs, and this would just be the icing on the cake, I think, for him. That would be a total and utter disaster.
Dude, I'll just say it like this, man. Two things real quick. So I was at the gym yesterday, and a stat came up on SportsCenter while I was on a treadmill, and it was most losses in NBA history with a chance to clinch a series. Doc Rivers is 15-31. That's a .326 win percentage with a chance to clinch the series. Number two is Jerry Sloan. He's 20-21. All right. Three is Pat Riley is 40-27. And number four is Phil Jackson. He's 56-21. That's still really good, actually. So
that shows the gap, man. He's in a class of his own. Because what did you say? Jerry Sloan was 20-21.
Just under game 500.
Just under 500. Like Doc Rivers is like 16 games under 500, that's a crazy stat. Wow.
Yeah, dude, I saw that. And I was like, I gotta share this on Roughing the Basket. This is like a fun fact of the day. But, yeah, man, I mean, it's been a crazy basketball season for sure. I mean, the playoffs have been absolutely wild. Bulls, I mean, kind of just got decimated by the Bucks. But, I mean, hey, they're showing they're legit once again. And, I mean, the one series I really wanted to get into and really wanted to dissect here is the Celtics and Nets. Because I don't know about you, but I know you mentioned the Nets being like a sleeper pick. And I honestly thought they were the favorites to come out of the East. So I'm not like saying you were wrong at all. I mean, I thought I had higher hopes for them than you did probably. And just to get swept in the way they did when you have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on your franchise, on your team, like, and, you know, they're not just playing by themselves. Like they do have some other supporting players on their team, at least more than they did earlier in the season or last season during the playoff run, in my opinion. So the fact that they just got annihilated like this is just wild to me, man. Like, what do you think was the key here? I mean, I was listening to a commentary guy, like when the Celtics were up 2-0, and he was like, man, the Celtics defense overrated, and, you know, probably KD's going to come back and win the series. And, I mean, I was kind of like, yeah, they're probably going to come back, but didn't happen, and that guy's looking like a clown now because this defense is looking like a historically good defense.
Yeah, this was – I mean, all right, I know I picked the Nets to be a sleeper team, and, I mean – I don't know if you would have classified them as a sleeper team when you have Kyrie and KD, but there was a lot, you know, that they were going up against too. And I thought this was going to go seven games, and I was leaning towards Celtics a little bit, but I would have never thought that this would be a sweep. Just a complete and utter surprise for me. Obviously I'm very happy about it because I'm a Celtics fan, but I mean, game one was as close as it can get. Jason Tatum won it on a last-second layup attempt. Game two, the Celtics came back down 17 points. Game three, Celtics ended up winning that one as it was kind of a close game. And game four, the last game, with Jason Tatum getting fouled out and all, Scott Foster being the NBA referee, who teams just can't seem to get away from, Celtics were still able to overcome that too. And ended up going up by four with Al Horford's layup towards the end of the game. So just an utter disaster for the Nets. I don't even know where you start. I think one big thing I think was Kevin Durant was kind of just not himself this series. He had a great game four, but the first three games, Jason Tatum did a fantastic job clamping him up, just kind of threw him off. The Celtics defense came into play. They have one of the best defenses in the NBA, maybe the best defense in the entire NBA. You have the defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart, who was everywhere. And they just weren't able to get into a groove. And I think it even goes towards Steve Nash. Steve Nash deserves a big blame, blame in this pie for the Brooklyn Nets here, because I just, Steve Nash, you saw it, and you saw a first-year head coach. You saw a guy who didn't have any coaching experience come into play there. Ime Udoka out-coached Brad Stevens. He was coaching him like crazy, like coaching him just around circles, basically. It was just coaching clinic by Ime Udoka, and Steve Nash was a disaster class. And, you know, besides really KD and Kyrie, they really didn't have anything else to – there weren't really other many guys that were stepping up. I mean, I know Goran Dragic had like a couple of big games, but Celtics were beating them on the rebounds. Andre Drummond wasn't really doing too much. And then you got the whole thing with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons didn't even play. And we thought Ben Simmons was going to play. And then all of a sudden he wakes up the next morning and his back hurts and he can't play game four. So we're going to, I know you hate Ben Simmons. I know you're going to probably rip into him, but I'll let you do that. But I just, complete and utter disaster for the Nets. And, you know, this is going to be a long offseason. I believe Kyrie's got a player option. You know, he could decline it and maybe just accept a longer deal. He's a wild card. I don't know where his head is at. I know him and KD are tight, but when you disappoint like this, I mean, that's definitely going to cause a friction. And I don't know if the Nets go into next season with Steve Nash as their head coach either. I don't see that.
So number one here, Kyrie Irving, right? I think this guy, this team in general, is full of the most ignorant people that I've ever seen touch a basketball.
That's very true.
Kevin Durant, you can't deny the talent. I mean, he's very close to being a top 10 player of all time. I will admit that. I'm not denying his talent at all anymore. He is very talented. So Kyrie Irving, you know, he flipped off literally the entire Celtics fan base. I mean, Ben Simmons did not play a game this entire NBA season. And then, you know, you have Kyrie Irving after the game saying, like, who would not get vaccinated to play, by the way, mind you, and help his team and be a team leader. You know, he ends up saying after the game that him, Kevin Durant, and like the Nets ownership are all like co-managers or whatever. What the heck does that even mean, dude? And did you even see that video of Kyrie Irving just walking into the stadium on game four? He looked like he was a dead man. Like he looks at
me when I'm walking
to work and I have to work like 5 to 11 at night, man. Like that's exactly how it was. It was, it was ridiculous. But Ben Simmons, look, man, you're going to give me a second rip into him. So I appreciate that.
No, I have the floor, man.
I have back pain literally every time I'm at work. I get paid minimum wage. Ben Simmons is getting paid $35 million to sit on an NBA bench. Like, how do you think that makes me feel, man? Like, honestly, dude, like I have back pain. I'll sit on an NBA bench and make $100 an hour, man. I'm fine with that. Dude, I'll make $20 an hour sitting on an NBA bench, bro. Me and Ben Simmons had the same amount of points this entire season. So what's the difference? I mean, you're going to save about – $34.999 million or whatever. So just, hey, Nets, if you're listening to this, I mean, whoever the new head coach is going to be, sign me up to be on the bench. I'll give them some moral support, maybe.
Petition to get Noah Burt in the NBA. We're starting it for 2022-2023 season.
Dude, legit, I'll probably give them more moral support than Kyrie Irving or Ben Simmons will. Moral support, not talent. Yep. I'll probably go for like 5%. I might shoot better than Ben Simmons from the three. I'm just saying.
You might be like, I'm trying to give you a comparison. You might be like Jared Dudley, you know, like some like couple minute type of guy that hypes up the bench.
The only thing is I'm only like 5'11 and 3/4 or 6'4, whatever you want to say. I mean, 6'1 in shoes. I don't know if they still go by that in the NBA, but if they do, you know, I don't really know if I could really play like small forward at 6'1". So it's I'd be getting dunked on quite a bit, but
to stay in the corner and pop a couple threes a game, you know,
or again, just sit on the bench the whole time. That's cool too with me.
Yeah, that's
but funny. Dude, it's just Ben Simmons, man. This is pathetic. How did he even hurt his back? Did this ever come out? Like, I'm so interested. Honestly, when they say how he hurt his back, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
A persistent issue. I don't think this is the first time he's had a back injury, because I'm pretty sure he had back surgery, like I want to say maybe a couple of years ago. I might sound completely stupid, but I know for a fact that he's had multiple back problems. This has just been kind of something that has kind of popped up for him. But the fact that the matter is, like, the way that he got re-injured again before game four, he like woke up, and I guess apparently he says it's due to stress. It's because of like a mental block in his like head, which I'm
impressed. Dude, what do you think it's like when I have to cut a bunch of chickens and we have almost no chicken? Nobody's calling it to the line. And like then I realize we're out of chicken and I'm like, oh my God, and my back hurts and I have to do that all like mad fast. And it takes like 10 minutes to cook a chicken, man. How do you think I feel? I'm getting paid minimum wage. It's like,
Oh my God, shout out to Chipotle, man.
If they hear this, I'm getting fired. But I just put in my 2 weeks, so that's okay.
Yeah, there you go. That's okay.
Anyways, so going back to basketball, I just think this Nets team, like, I think they would be extremely ignorant to give Kyrie Irving a long-term deal after all the comments he's made, after all the things he's contributed. Look, again, talented basketball player, no denying that, but it's just there. I don't think there's a coincidence anymore that everywhere he goes, he causes some kind of drama. You know, he is a locker room cancer. There is no doubt about that. Ben Simmons is a locker room cancer, and Kevin Durant can't win without Steph Curry. I mean, these are all facts up until this point. So, you know, that's the way I look at it. That's why I had Steph Curry ahead of Kevin Durant. I mean, the fact that he's revolutionized the game 100 times more than Kevin Durant has, but also the fact that he's actually won a championship without Kevin Durant being there. I cannot say the same thing about Kevin Durant in respect to Steph Curry. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I think they need to fire Steve Nash. Yeah, let's hear it, Carr.
I got something too, because you mentioned Steph Curry. The fact that Kevin Durant chose to play with Kyrie Irving instead of staying with Golden State I think that needs to be talked about more. That is a terrible decision. Look at the Warriors right now. We're about to talk about them, but they won the Nugget series 4-1. They look like the old Golden State Warriors again, and they're going to be a tough team in the Western Conference. And Kevin Durant chose to leave them to go play with Kyrie Irving in the Brooklyn Nets. And look where he's at. He's on the couch. I'm just saying that should be talked about more.
You're 100% right, man. I mean, this team was just a complete mess. And I think, I don't know, man. I heard Stephen A say a comment, and there's a lot of things that Stephen A says that I am not a fan of, but this thing, I 100% agree with him. If the Brooklyn Nets want to sign Kyrie Irving, give him a one-year deal with a one-year option. Like, there's no way around it. Like, if you give him a five-year deal, he could play 15 games and retire. Like, nothing's off the table with this man.
I would not put it past him, bro. Like, he's just such a – I love him as a basketball player on the basketball court. He's so fun to watch, but he's just so unpredictable. And I agree. Like, you got to just take it to a year-to-year basis. Like, I would be afraid to give him a multi-year contract. I mean, besides even, like, his unpredictableness, how about his injury history too? You know, what happens if, you know, COVID is still a very prominent thing and there's been surges around at least our area? What if, you know, New York says, okay, well, now we're reinstating that rule and he's not vaccinated, right? So I just think there's a lot of factors with Kyrie, and he's a great player. You know, we've seen that. We've seen him take over games. I mean, you saw it in game one. Kyrie Irving almost won the game himself. He almost did. But Jason Tatum hit that last second layup. He's capable of that, but we just haven't. I don't know what changed. I don't know if he's always been like this, and the Cleveland Cavaliers just did a great job of hiding it, but he's a very unpredictable guy. And I don't know. I know the Pistons have a lot of money this offseason. Imagine. I don't want to put that on you, but knock on wood.
Hey, I'm good with Cade, bro. Like, I'm always with Cade, because that money, like, we might as well just spend it on me, man. Like, I mean, I'll probably do the same as Kyrie Irving. I mean, I'll probably sit out half the season, play in limited games, and then
play a few minutes.
I'll probably walk into game four, you know, depressed and everything. So, yep. Yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, hey, speaking of Pistons, you want to go into our idea prior to you know, recording this, me and Carl
talking
about doing a little redraft here. I mean, hey, in honor of there being an NFL draft tonight, we decided that we would look back at the NBA draft from last season and do a little bit of a redraft, maybe like the first 10 picks, something like that. We're kind of just going off the top and just seeing what happens here. But, you know, he asked me the question. So I guess we'll start out with number one, the Pistons, because this is obvious. So you said Scott Barnes ended up winning the Rookie of the Year
award. Scotty Barnes, yep. Yes. From the Toronto Raptors, named NBA Rookie of the Year. Yep.
Okay, well deserved. I'm not going to deny that. But I think Cade Cunningham equally deserves it. I do have a case for Cade Cunningham, and that's that. I mean, he had, if I'm not mistaken, he had more points than Scottie Barnes, right? I mean, look, it was a really close, whatever it was, it was a really, really close race. I think with Cade Cunningham, I just see him being more of a long-term impact player. The fact that he was able to just dominate and take over, like he went through spans of games, like a span of 10 games where he was averaging something like 22 points a game and like eight assists and like eight rebounds. I'm not sure the 100% the stats, but I mean, this player has shown, especially after his rocky start, that he's able to face adversity and he's able to excel in adversity. Like the thing is that this is a very young Pistons team, extremely young. And I think, you know, he could have averaged 10 and 5 a game. And I still don't think that they would have made the playoffs. I mean, this was a very bad Pistons team, but very young. And that gives me hope that within a few years that they will be able to turn this thing around. Like if Sadiq Bey ends up actually shooting more than 40% from the field, like, dude, he'll go like from a streak where he's shooting over a 3-game period, like 27 points a game on like 52% shooting. And then the next 3-4 games, he'll average like 8 points a game on like 30% shooting or 25% shooting. Anyways, going back to the point here, number one, I would 100% do Cade Cunningham. Why? You have a different opinion?
It's so close. I think Cade Cunningham can still be that guy too. I'm going to go with Cade Cunningham. I mean, he had a great season too, like 21 points per game, 5.8 rebounds a game, 6.4 assists per game, and he shot 45% from the field. So, I mean, he was great. And, you know, I think with him, like, I mean, think about the beginning of the season, the guy was dealing with an ankle injury. So he didn't come back. I forget when he came back. So, but, you know, he was dealing with that. And he was great. You know, he looks like that guy that we're kind of expecting him to eventually end up becoming. He definitely showed flashes of that, and averaging 21 points per game in your rookie season. I granted, you know, there's not a lot of talent on the Pistons team, but I do think he's very good. And I wouldn't be opposed to that. Like, you can make the argument for Evan Mobley or Scottie Barnes, but you know, if you were to redraft and the Pistons were to take Cade Cunningham, I think he could be just as good as those two guys as well. Just kind of a disappointing beginning to a season with the ankle injury kind of maybe, you know, limited him for a little bit, but then he really started to pick things up. Or I should say, sorry, he didn't average 21 points per game. For the final 21 games of his season, he averaged 21 points per game, 5.8 rebounds and 6.4 assists per game. So he was good to end the season off, despite having the kind of a slow start there. But I would go with Cade Cunningham.
I think another thing with the whole, you know, Scottie Barnes, Evan Mobley, Cade Cunningham debate at number one is that he's a point guard. Cade Cunningham is a pure point guard. He may not be 100% conventional point guard, but he is a point guard. And, you know, the other two guys, I can't say the same thing for. So, I mean, who else realistically was going to be handling the ball for the Pistons the majority of the time this season?
Yeah. So. I mean, he's handling the ball. I mean, he's tall enough to be a wing, so I mean, he does everything. But yeah, he averaged 17.4 points per game, 5.5 rebounds a game, 5.6 assists per game, and he was great. And I would not be opposed, you know, to pick him number one overall again. And you know, obviously shooting 42% from the field, 32% from three can be a little bit better, but I expect a big jump for him. I do.
All right, so moving on to number two, we got Jalen Green, who is a villain for me because he said, you know, some very not nice words about Detroit. We'll just put it like that. We're not picking him here though.
I don't know about him.
Hey, I'm on board with this. I'm totally fine with that. I'm part of the Jalen Green hate fan club. So you know.
Yes, sir, bro.
Who we got at number two?
Scottie Barnes. I mean, with Barnes, he was great. 15.3 points per game is 20 years old. And look where the Toronto Raptors are right now. The Toronto Raptors are in the playoffs, and he was a big part of it, and he was great. He led the rookies in a lot of different statistical stats, and he just was, I thought he was very good. And I think he's just someone that can, he could run the point guard position too. And he can be I feel like Scottie Barnes can play like most positions if he really wanted to. And he's great. And he's a great shot creator. He can, obviously he can shoot three, he can shoot the mid range, great scorer. And he's just someone that I feel like would be a good pick there. And then they could consider taking Evan Mobley. I mean, I wouldn't be mad at that either. He was great, but Scottie Barnes did run away with the Rookie of the Year award, and he was very good. So I would probably say Scottie Barnes for the Houston Rockets. And they would be, I mean, the Rockets had a really bad season. Jalen Green kind of had an up and down rookie year, but Scottie Barnes, if he was picked there, I mean, they would obviously be a lot better. So I'm going to go with Scottie Barnes.
All right. So I'm going to contradict myself a little bit because, because of the market that Jalen Green was playing in, a lot of people didn't hear about the end of the season he had. He killed it at the end of the season. He had out of the last, eight games I'm seeing in the last eight games of the season, he scored 30 or more seven times. I mean, this guy is good. I do not like him. I do not like him at all as a person for his comments about Detroit or as a basketball player. But the talent, again, is undeniable. I think he's going to be a streaky player, but I think that he can go through stretches where he turns it on and he just scores. However, maybe there'll be problems about his character in the future. I'm not really too sure because I've heard some things about him, but I don't know if that's really true or not. But I definitely see your point there with Scottie Barnes. Again, I don't know. I'm up in the air on this one. This class is really talented, to be honest. I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I would probably go Jalen Green just because of the end of the season he had and because I feel like he could be very similar to Kevin Durant in scoring in the future. I mean, I don't know how his defense or passing or anything else is really going to pan out, but I could see him being a really electric scorer, and I think the I think the Houston Rockets are going to need some guy to step up in the place of James Harden in the next few years.
Definitely. So I mean, he can do it. Yeah, he can do it. I just think what we've seen, though, from Scottie Barnes this season, I think, it would be hard for me to not take him after winning Rookie of the Year. But, I mean, three, I think, is self-explanatory, too. I mean, he's already on the team, Evan Mobley, to Cavs. Just a great season, too. He was – I think if he didn't – because I know he got – I don't know if he had COVID or got injured. But if he didn't get injured, I think he probably would have won Rookie of the Year. And he was great. I mean, he looks like he's going to be a Defensive Player of the Year one day. And he could even be a member of the All-Defensive Team this season if he really wanted to. He is just great, man. Scoring, he's still developing that. He's still developing his shot. But, I mean, 15 points per game and 8 rebounds, it's not bad. But, I mean, what you're going to get from Evan Mobley is a fantastic shot blocker. He's a great defender. He can switch on to people. And, I mean, that's what you're going to get with Evan Mobley. And you saw the Cleveland Cavaliers almost make it to the playoffs this year. And Evan Mobley was a big reason why. He was a big driving factor for that Cavs defense. And can't say enough about how great he was this past season.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I'm not going to waste too much time explaining that because you did a pretty good job yourself. But just a quick note here. Something interesting is that two out of the top seven players, Jonathan Kuminga and Jalen Green, both actually played for the G League instead of when going to college, which is a very interesting fact. So yep. I think we're starting to see a transition here. And I think this is going to become very common within the next 5 years. I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing maybe four out of the top 10 best basketball players decide to go to the G League instead of actually going to college.
Absolutely.
So we'll see what happens with that. But going on to number four, all right, in your mock draft here or your relook at the draft, you have Scotty Barnes off of it. So, I mean, I don't. So, I want to say Scotty Barnes here is obviously a great pick. Who are you going at four?
Jalen Green. I mean, we already talked about both of these guys, but I mean, again, you know, Jalen Green, while I think he's had the worst season out of the four guys who got drafted in the top four, I mean, I thought he was fine too. I mean, great scorer. Obviously, the athleticism is there. I mean, explosive player. So he's not bad. And I think, you know, he's just gotta develop himself a little bit more. Obviously, he's kind of a streaky shooter, as we talked about. But I mean, I think Jalen Green, you know, he has the makings to be a good player. He's only 20. There's a lot of growth, and I do think that he could be a good player, and you just got to give him time. So I'll say Jalen Green.
All right. So now we are at number five, and this one is 100% going to be a repick from probably both of us. Jalen Suggs. Now this guy had so much hype on him coming out of college, and everybody seemed amazed that the Raptors decided to go with Scotty Barnes instead of Jalen Suggs. And it turned out to be a great move by the Raptors. But, I mean, at this pick, I got to go Josh Giddey, man. Josh Giddey looks like he's going to be like the next Russell Westbrook, except he's actually going to make his shots.
That's wow, okay. Different. That's a comp. Wow.
Dude, I'm just saying, maybe it's the triple-double aspect of him, but it just seemed like every single game that I would look up his highlights, or, you know, I would see his stat line or whatever, he was nearly averaging a triple-double. I mean, all right, maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I mean, this guy averaged 12.5 points a game, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. And there were a lot of games where he had like 20 points, 10 rebounds, 13 assists, stuff like that. And it's tall guy, 6'8", you know, so he's capable of getting rebounds. And the way he plays is very interesting and unique, and especially the fact that, you know, he was in Australia for a while. I thought maybe his game wouldn't translate to the NBA just because it's a different brand of basketball. But I guess that's not really an excuse anymore, because we saw, you know, LaMelo play there, and obviously his games translated to the NBA very well. And Josh Giddey is another example of that. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's time to give Australian basketball a little bit more credit with their league, because, I mean, they've produced two – well, I don't want to say they produce LaMelo, but – you know what I mean? Like, he played there and he did okay. And then he went to the NBA, and I mean, he's balling out right now. So I would definitely go Josh Giddey here.
Love that pick. That's a great pick. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with that too. Josh Giddey is just, I mean, yeah, he was great. And, you know, he averaged 13 points per game, 8 rebounds and 6 assists. So he was getting those triple doubles, and he seems like a guy that, I don't know if he'll be – I mean, Russell Westbrook is definitely, like, a pretty – I don't know if I would go that far, but I think he'll be a very solid NBA player. I think a couple of all-star teams, and I think he'll just be a very good player. He's really good. He's got a pretty good – he's got a really well-rounded game for himself, and I do think that Josh Giddey has a bright future in the NBA, and I thought he was really good, and – you know, he was able to be a very effective player for the Thunder, and he'll be one of those pieces on that team for a while. And I think he'll be a multiple time All-Star. I don't know if he'll be like an all NBA player. I mean, he could definitely make like, I don't know if he'll be like first team all NBA, but I do think that he could make maybe a second or third. But he's a very good player, and, you know, we'll see how he develops. I mean, he's obviously going to increase his scoring, 13 points per game. I mean, as a, you know, for a rookie, that's not bad at all, but, you know, you definitely want to see some more from him. So I'll go Josh Giddey as well.
Oh, his three-point shooting was actually really sus. He was not a good three-point
shooter. Yeah, just something.
Which again, hey, the Russell Westbrook comparison is looking better and better.
That's true.
But I was going to say,
I got a good pick for the next one. I want to start with this one.
All right, one last thing about Josh Giddey, though. Last 10 games of the season, he averaged 16 points a game, 8 assists, and 9 rebounds. So, this guy, I'm telling you, he's going to be a baller for years to come. Who do you got with the next pick? That would be the Oklahoma City pick.
I hope I'm saying this guy's name right. Is it Franz Wagner? It's not Wagner, right? It's like, I know it's like German.
Yeah. Technically, it's Franz Wagner, but I
Franz
mean, we're
Wagner.
just gonna
Okay.
say Franz Wagner. Yeah, that works.
I'll say Franz. I'll say Franz. I mean,
Yeah, just
Franz
say
is
Franz.
like, he was a guy that coming into the draft, I was like, is he gonna be good? I'm like, I don't know if this guy's gonna be good. And maybe that's because I didn't know too much about him. And the Magic ended up picking him at 8, I believe. But he's gonna be the first team all rookie selection this year. And he was great. I mean, 35% from 3-point line as a forward. He was very good on that end. And 15 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 3 assists. Very, very, very good. And I would even make the argument he had a better season than Jalen Suggs did. He was very good. And I think he'll be a guy that can, again, be in that all-star conversation. I mean, we're talking about a really good NBA draft class we had last year. Like, we're getting into pick like, we're at pick 6 now, and we're talking about guys that are going to be all-star caliber players. Like, Franz Wagner is a very good player, and I definitely think that the Orlando Magic nailed that pick. Jalen Suggs, it's yet to be seen. I think he could end up having a better season next year, but Franz is a very good player, and I think it was a great pick by the Magic. And if the Thunder, now the Thunder are getting him in our mock drafts or redraft, and I mean, that would be just another great pick too. And if they miss out on Josh Giddey and get Franz Wagner, I mean, still pretty good.
Dude, he's representing German basketball in a whole new way. Him and his brother, he plays with his brother on the Magic. Dude, his brother's actually pretty good too. Mo Wagner, yeah. Brothers went to Michigan. Well, at different times, separate times they played. And in my opinion, like from watching Mo and friends at Michigan, the games that I saw, and granted, I didn't watch that many of friends' games, but I didn't think he stood out that much compared to Mo. I thought Mo was going to be a way better player in the NBA. And hey,
Yeah.
to be fair though, Mo was no bust. He has actually created a role for himself in 15 minutes a game. He averaged 9 points a game. If you do that math and you do his 36-minute split, he's actually over averaging over 20 points a game in a 36-minute time frame. So his brother is also making a role for himself with the Magic, which is it's cool to see them playing and representing German basketball for sure.
I got another great pick for the Warriors.
All right, for sure. By the way, I second your opinion with that 100%. But who do you got with the Warriors? Let's hear it.
This guy right here has been, he got picked, I believe, in the second round, and he's been,
Wow.
no, this guy has been really good. Herb Jones from the New Orleans Pelicans. He's been a great player. I think he might be another guy that makes the first team all rookie team, and he is a, this guy, what this guy brings to the table is his defense. His defense is fantastic. He's a great perimeter defender. I mean, and he's fantastic. His defense is would be perfect on this Warriors team too. My God, if the Warriors had Herb Jones as another guy who can, defend multiple positions, who could defend the perimeter, he's great. And I think he's going to be a guy that makes multiple all defensive teams in his career. He is a great defender, and I know it could be high, but I really liked Herb Jones this season, and he's been a guy for the Pelicans. If you haven't seen him play, like, just a great defensive player, and he has been just that guy. And I really like Herb Jones, so I'm gonna go with Herb Jones.
Dude, that's actually a crazy. That's wild, man. The second round pick. I mean, hey, he has been really good,
Really good, man. I'm telling you.
for sure. Honestly, I'm kind of torn here. I'm gonna keep it at Jonathan Kuminga
Okay,
because
that's good. That's good
I
too.
saw that he did have talent and he fit in pretty well with the Warriors, for the most part. I mean, he had his ups and downs for sure, but I do see some talent there. I mean, the other guy that I would think about maybe putting in there is Bones Highland. I think I'm saying his name right,
Oh,
hopefully.
Bones Highland, yeah, for the Nuggets, right?
He's another guy I would
Yeah,
think
he's
of, but
good.
I would probably put Jonathan Kuminga in there just because he's like the default pick already.
I don't hate that. I mean, that would Jonathan Kuminga would have been my next pick for the Magic. I mean, yeah, Kuminga was great too towards like the end of the regular season. He's been really good, and he's a very explosive player, kind of a raw, pretty raw prospect, but I mean, we're already starting to see some flashes from him on the Golden State Warriors. So I don't hate that at all. But I just really, I Herb Jones is going to be a really good defensive player. I really think that. And I think he just would have fit so perfectly with the Warriors. Their defense would have even been even better. But yeah, Kuminga for the Magic is my next pick. Kuminga was very good.
All right, I'm going to do something a little bit different here. I'm going to do Chris Duarte. I mean, this guy really surprised me. Three-point specialist. I mean, the Magic definitely needs some three-point help. And putting a guy like Chris Duarte in there that hit, I believe, 37% from the three. I mean, it seemed like he did all the small things right. He's a little bit older than the average rookie. I believe he's 25, if I'm not mistaken. 24, yeah, okay. Almost 25.
Older guy, yeah, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. He'll be 25 by next season. But still, regardless of that, I mean, I thought he had a pretty impressive season. I mean, averaged 13 points a game, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 43% from the field. Overall, did the small things right for the Pacers, and I think he's going to be a very, very good player. I don't want to say great, but definitely a respectable player for a long time. So he's the guy that I would put there.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you too. I mean, Chris Duarte, I mean, what he's been able to do for the Pacers this season, very good. I mean, 13 points per game. Again, just a lot of guys who are just averaging double-digit points per game. He was very good, and 37% from three and 80% from the free throw line, 43% from the field. No slouch at all. So he's a very good shooter, and he's pretty efficient. But now we're going into the Kings pick now. Davion Mitchell, a player that they already have. He's another guy that has just been very good. And Davion Mitchell, another guy who towards the end of the season for the Kings really picked it up, and he's been very good. And I do like what he brings to the table. I think he'll be an all-rookie player this season as well, but he's very good. He's a very good player, and I think, you know, what we saw from him this year too, he's a good defensive player, just kind of like not the biggest guy, but like one of those like stingy, you know, type of pest type of players that just makes it hard on guards. He's a very good player, and again, you know, he had a very good end to the season. So Davion Mitchell, I think should be definitely picked again by the Kings. He's very good this season.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like a copycat, but it's kind of hard. It's hard to really disagree with that, honestly. I mean, he was I believe it was either fifth or sixth in rookie scoring. He had like 11 and a half points a game, and he definitely showed signs of being a very good player for years to come. So I definitely agree with that. Who you got at 10?
Ooh, 10.
So this is an interesting pick because this was technically New Orleans Pelicans pick, but it was traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. So
I'm gonna go. I don't know if this is gonna be too high, but again, I don't know how to say this guy's name, but the Chicago Bulls player they picked in the second round, Ayo Dosunmu. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but he was another guy that the Bulls picked in the second round that was super good. And, you know, 9 points per game, three assists per game, and he shot really nicely, 52% from the field and 37% from three. I think he was really good. And, you know, I do think it's somebody for the Bulls that's going to be a very good role player for them. He's an impact player off the bench. He can do it. And I don't know if it's too high to pick him here, but I'm going to go with Ayo. Why not?
I respect it. I really do. I'm going to go with Trey Mann, though. He was, he was the fourth best three-point shooter out of the rookie class. I mean, he seemed to do the little things well. He hit, he was averaging 10 points a game. He had a pretty good amount of time on the court with 23 minutes a game, but still, compared to other rookies, he was like, I believe he was like 11th or 12th in that category. So, minutes per game. So, I mean, it seems like, you know, a guy that'll give you 10, 11 points your rookie year. I mean, I think that's
not bad at all.
So, I mean, I'll throw him on there.
Not bad at all. That's our top 10 from redraft. I mean, not too many big changes, but like, what I've taken away from this rookie class that we've had in the NBA is it's freaking good. It's a really good class. And, you know, I think we knew that because a lot of people said that this draft was going to be one of the best ones we've seen in so many years. I don't know if it lives up to it, but like maybe close to it. I mean, Cade obviously has shown flashes. Scottie Barnes has shown flashes. Evan Mobley has shown flashes. Franz Wagner has shown flashes. Kuminga has shown flashes. And Herb Jones and Chris Duarte. Like, there's a lot of players. I mean, even Jalen Suggs, who didn't have a great season, I still think I believe in him, and I do think that he can be a relatively good NBA player. Like, I do think this was a really good NBA draft class, and I'll be excited once the 2022 NBA draft comes around and I can start to look at some of the players that are going to be in that draft. I know you'll be looking at that heavily because the Pistons might have a top pick again. So, you know, we'll be definitely covering that on Rough of the Basket for sure.
Oh, we're 100% drafted number one again. We're winning the lottery two straight years. We're going to be like the Cleveland Cavaliers and just winning the lottery every year.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So it's a Pistons-related question. It's not about the draft, but it's about a player that's been playing really good, who is going to be a free agent, that's going to want a new contract. Have you been keeping up with Jalen Brunson from the Mavericks?
You know, I mean,
is he a player that he
won
okay?
Two games, bro. He won two games without Luka there, and he just destroyed it.
He is a free agent, and he wants money. So I don't know if the Mavericks
would consider. This might sound absolutely absurd, but as a Pistons fan, I mean, if you have that money to spend, and he's very young and still has a lot of potential, I'm hesitant to say this because the Pistons have spent money in wrong ways a bunch of times in the past. I would consider giving him a very close max contract deal. I mean, dude, he won two playoff games without Luka, man. I mean, he was killing it too. It wasn't like he was putting up 15 points or something like that. He dropped 30. I believe the other
41, 31 in the two games exactly. That Luka didn't play.
Dude, that's crazy. He's winning himself money though, for sure. I mean, hey, as the Pistons, I do have a question though, how they would interact, like Cade and Jalen Brunson. I don't know how they would really interact on the basketball court and how that would look. But I mean, if there was a guarantee that they could work out, I mean, what's Jalen Brunson's 3-point percentage for his career? I'm kind of curious actually.
For at least this season, it's 37.3.
Okay, I'm in on it. Yeah, let's do it. Pistons, let's go. Sign him. We
his career 3-point percentage is also 37.3. He shot 40% last year.
Heck yeah, bro. Come on, man. Come to the Pistons, Jalen Brunson. We'll have you on the pod.
Yeah, let's go, bro. I just thought about that because I know the Pistons have a lot of money, and I've been seeing things about the Pistons being linked to him, and I know like he doesn't want to get like lowballed, and again like I said, the Pistons have a lot of cap space this offseason. I mean, the guy's only 25 and he'll be 26 heading into next season, but like he was really good last year. I mean this year, and he's been killing it in the playoffs too. Like even with Luka playing, like now he's averaging like 20 points, over 20 points per game. So he's really stepping it up. So he's earning himself some money for sure.
Yeah, especially like in the moments, the clutch moments of the playoffs, where a lot of players who are known as household names, who are supposed to be top rated players, just kind of fall asleep in the playoffs. And it's been a reverse, complete reverse with Jalen Brunson. He's I'm not going to say he's quiet in the season because he's low key a really, really good player in the season, but in the postseason, he turned it up like to 150% effort. So
you gonna watch Jalen Brunson highlights once we're done with this podcast?
Oh, 100%, man. I gotta start.
Cutting him up. Yeah, I think he could be a pretty good player for you guys. He fits in with the timeline. He's only gonna be 26. It's not that old.
Bro, I'm telling you, Detroit sports, we're on our way up. I know this is a short pod, so I'll just say this real quick, man. Detroit, right now we on our way up. Miguel Cabrera just hit 3,000 hits. No, oh, yeah, I know that's what we don't cover here, but that's good news. Detroit Red Wings, I mean, I don't really watch hockey, so I don't really know what's going on with them, but they were better than last season from what I saw. That's good. Detroit Pistons, I mean, we have an extremely young team and a lot of cap space, so And we got Cade Cunningham. We're going to have Chet Holmgren. I just got to keep saying that and manifest it. And then at Lions tonight, we drafted Aiden Hutchinson. We going for Aiden Hutchinson. The Jaguars are about to draft the bust, and we are about to draft the best player in the draft. I'm really hoping that happens, and we don't like have to cut this out. Even if it doesn't, I'm keeping this in here.
Keep it in. We're gonna be we're recording this before the draft. What are we draft night? So no one's gonna either. Maybe we'll put some like clown music if you're on, but under it or something.
I'm totally fine with that, man. But we'll see what happens, man. I mean, hey, next week we definitely got to talk about the draft 100%. The NFL draft, it's gonna be a good time tonight. I'm watching it. I'm chilling, probably gonna have a bottle of wine honestly while I'm watching it, and it's gonna be a good time.
I'll be texting you Pombo, everybody, because you know it's important draft for you guys have two first round picks, and Patriots, I mean for the Patriots, bro, I want a corner, hopefully they take one, or a linebacker. I don't know. There's a lot of holes, but I know it's going to end up happening. We're going to trade back, and I'm going to be sad because I just want us to take a player at 21, please.
Hey, one last thing I want to say about the Patriots, for all you Patriots fans out there. When you're watching the draft, I'm going to give you a very key piece of advice. Oh. Don't watch the first round and literally just watch day three, because this is something good. This is a positive thing. Bill Belichick knows what he's doing on day three. And the undrafted free agency signs. I mean, the amount of guys that I've seen just out of nowhere, you know, like guys like Malcolm Butler, there's been a lot of them.
JC Jackson,
right? Yeah.
Yep. A lot of people.
I mean, even Edelman. I mean, Edelman was a quarterback in college, and he turned into one of the best wide receivers, slot wide receivers that we've ever really seen.
Brady. So,
yeah, exactly. So, hey, just watch day three. Don't even worry about day one. Because, sometimes Bill Belichick doesn't really know what he's doing at the start of the draft, but he figures it out at the end. So it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Absolutely. It's good advice, Noah. Good advice to end the pod off. But thank you guys so much for listening to Rough in the Basket this week. And we'll see you guys next week. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Rough the Basket. Follow us on Instagram at Rough in the Basket. Follow me on Twitter at bcart_13, and you can follow Noah on Instagram at mburnt37. Noah, you ended it off pretty good this week. I don't even know if I want to ask you, but like, do you have anything else to say?
Man, dude, I'm all out, bro. I just put my heart and soul on this podcast, man. I mean, dude, that wasn't a lie. I really gave my 2 weeks today, so like, I just feel like I'm kind of on a roll right now. I got like so much adrenaline. It's like, man, watching this draft, I feel like there may be some screaming. We'll see what happens. It's either going to be whatever happens at the number two pick, there's going to be some yelling, and you know, the neighbors may or may not call the police. So, we'll see what happens.
So, all right, guys, next week, Noah will be in jail. And I'll be doing the podcast.
Hey, if I did the podcast in Colombia, I'm sure they'll let me do it.
burning their laptop in the jail, bro. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening this week, and we will catch you guys next week. Peace out.